One who knows how to talk can topple the truth and justice and defeat others. Lawyers argue in the court. Different religious groups argue to prove that their religion is better than the other religions. Their arguments are based on their talents and ability to express their idea, but not necessarily on the truth. This is the nature of argument. To arrive at the truth, the Buddha advised us not to be influenced by argument or logic, but to use unbiased investigation. When people start their argument, naturally, their emotion also arises, and this results in heated argument. Later, human egoism adds more fuel to the fire of this verbal battle. In the end, it creates enmity because nobody wants to surrender his own views. Therefore, no one should introduce the truth of a religion through arguments. This is another important advice of the Buddha. Then, the next advice is not to accept anything as absolute upon one's own inference. This refers to the belief that are regarded as truth through one's own imagination. Although we have some doubts in our mind, we accept certain things as truth. After limited investigation, since our minds are deluded by a lot of desires and emotional feeling, this mental attitude creates illusion. And we also have our intrinsic ignorance. Everyone suffers from ignorance and illusion. Mental defilements cloud the mind, which then become biased and cannot distinguish between truth and illusion. As a result, we become convinced that only our beliefs are correct. The Buddha's advice is not to come to any conclusion at once by using our emotional feeling, but to get more information and investigate before we come to any conclusion about something. This means we must be willing to hear what other people have to say. Perhaps they can see our wrong concept and help us to recognize the fallacy of what we believe as being true. The next one is not to accept anything which appears to be true. When you see things and listen to some interpretations given by others, you grasp only the external appearance of the object without using your penetrative knowledge. Sometimes the concept or identity that you create about the object may be far from the truth. Try to see things in their proper perspective. Buddhism is known as the doctrine of analysis. Only through analysis can we understand what really constitutes the object and what sort of elements and energies are functioning and how they exist, why they decay and disappear. If you really examine the nature of these things, you will realize that everything that exists is impermanent, and that attachment towards these objects can create more disappointments. The Buddha had warned his followers not to rely solely upon one's own speculative experience. After listening to or reading certain theories, people simply arrive at certain conclusions and maintain these beliefs. They fiercely refuse to change their views already made up. The Buddha's advice is not to make any hasty conclusion to decide whether such things are true or otherwise. People can discover many things in this world, but the most difficult thing for them to discern is the truth or reality of all component things. We should not depend on speculative rumors to understand the truth. We may accept certain things as the basis on which to gain an investigation which will ultimately satisfy our inquisitive minds. The decision that we arrive at through speculation can be compared to the decision made by a group of blind men who touched different parts of the body of an elephant. Each man had his own decision about what he thought the elephant looked like. To each, of course, what he had said was true. Although you can see things and know they were all wrong, but they, in their mind, thought they were right. Do not be like the proverbial frog under a coconut shell, who thought there was no world beyond what he could see. We are blinded by our mental defilement. That is why we cannot understand the truth. That is why others can mislead and influence us very easily. We always go on changing our belief which we have accepted as truth. People change their religious labels from time to time because they are easily influenced by human emotion. When once we have realized the truth, we need never change it under any circumstances, because in truth there is nothing to change. It is absolute. We should not change our views simply because of another's seeming ability to offer better advice. Some people have the ability to impress you by their behavior and seeming ability to do certain things. You should not accept what they say without again examining carefully the validity of their expression. They may talk about various religious teachers, gurus, and meditation masters. They will also indulge in some exaggerations to prove the powers of their teachers so as to influence your mind. If you blindly accept their saying as the truth, you will maintain very shaky and shallow idea because you are not completely convinced. You may follow them with faith for some time, but one day you will be disappointed after realizing your folly because you have not accepted them through your own understanding and experience. And as soon as another impressive teacher comes along, you will abandon the first one. Examine the advice given by the Buddha. Think how reasonable, rational, and scientific his way of teaching is. Do not listen to others with blind faith. Listen to them by all means, but always be mindful and listen with an open mind. You should not surrender your education and intelligence to others when you listen to them. They may try to arouse your emotion and influence your mind according to your worldly needs to satisfy your desires. But their aim may not necessarily be to reveal. Do not accept anything on the consideration that this is our teacher, was the final advice of the Buddha in this context. Have you ever heard of any other religious teacher who had uttered such words? All the others would say, I am the only powerful teacher. I am God. Follow me. Worship me. Pray to me. Otherwise you will have no salvation. They would also say, you should not worship another God or another teacher. Think for a while to understand the Buddha's attitude. The Buddha had said, you should not depend blindly on your teacher. He may be the founder of a religion or a well-known guru, but even then, you should not develop your attachment toward him at once. This is how the Buddha had given due credit to man's intelligence, allowed man to use his free will without depending on others. The Buddha once said, you can become your own master. The Buddha would have told us that he was the only enlightened teacher and that his followers should not worship any other god or religious teacher. He did not promise his followers that they could easily go to heaven or attain nirvana if they worshipped him. If we practice a religion simply by depending on a teacher, we will never realize the truth. Without realizing the fact about religion that we practice, we can become victims of a blind faith and thereby arrest our freedom of thinking, and later we become slaves to one particular teacher and discriminate against the others. We have to realize that we must not depend on others for our salvation, but we can respect any religious teacher who is sincere and worthy of respect. Religious teachers can tell us what to do to gain our salvation. But one person cannot save another person. This saving is not like saving a life when it is in danger. This is final liberation from mental impurities and worldly suffering. That is why we have to work individually to gain our own emancipation or full freedom in accordance with the advice given by the religious teachers. No one can save us but ourselves. Buddha merely showed the way. Can you think of any other religious leader who would have said this? That is the freedom we have in Buddhism. These are the 10 kinds of advice given by the Buddha to the group of young people called the Kalamas, who came to ask him as to how to accept a religion and how to decide on a true religion. His advice to them was not to be selfish or to become slaves to others, not to do anything only for one's own benefit, but to consider all concerns. You can understand this according to your personal experience. Among various practices and beliefs, certain things are good for some but not for others. And conversely, certain things are good for others but not for the rest. Therefore, before you do anything, you have to consider both the advantages and disadvantages that accrue to you. These are the guidelines to consider before you accept a religion. Buddhism is a religion which teaches one to understand that man is not for religion, but that religion is for man to make use of it. A man should use religion for his betterment and to experience freedom, peace and happiness. Buddhism is a religion we can use to live peacefully and allow others to live peacefully as well. While practicing this religion, we are allowed to respect other religions. If it is difficult to respect, then at least we are required to be tolerant without disturbing or condemning other religions. Very few other religions teach their followers to adopt this tolerant attitude. The Buddha was almost 2,000 years ahead of his time in his attitude towards women. During the time of the Buddha, and even long after that, women had a very low social status. They had very little choice in their career, marriage, property, ownership, and so on. Even in Europe, women were not allowed to vote until the 20th century. When a man died in India, his wife was forced to burn herself. When he was cremated, by hurling herself onto the flaming funeral pyre of her late husband. Actually, many women, some of them hardly 16 or 17 years old, preferred death by fire to a lifetime of widowhood. They were very badly treated by their parents and in-law, who blamed them for son's death. Widows would wear no ornament, take part in no celebration, had no rights over their children, and so on. The Buddha condemned such cruel behavior toward innocent women. He held that a man's death was in no way caused by a woman's bad luck, and as such, a widow could not be punished for a husband's death. Then again, the Buddha was the first religious teacher who allowed women to enter into the holy order as nuns. Although for security and practical reasons, they were subordinate to the monks, they enjoyed great freedom within the Buddhist framework. There are historical records of highly respected Buddhist nuns, queens, and ladies from respectable families who, after joining the holy order, dedicated their life and mastered the doctrine of the Buddha and led a holy life. In fact, the Therigatha of the Song of the Sisters, which was composed solely by famous Buddhist nuns, hold a very important place in Buddhist literature even today. Besides giving greater respect and freedom to women, the Buddha was very much opposed to the caste system, which divided people into different social states according to their birth. Because of this practice, some people born to low caste families could only do very degrading jobs, even if they had superior intelligence. On the other hand, those born into high class families enjoyed great privileges, even if they were stupid and lazy. The Buddha had said, "Not by birth does one become noble, only by deed can one be judged to be noble." Because of his belief in the equality of men, the Buddha admitted everyone into his order of monks regardless of caste. There is no other religion in the world which puts ordinary humans in the same category as their founder. Only the Buddha allowed each human being to think that he had the potential to become exactly like him. There is certainly no other religion in the world which proclaims that its followers can become God. The degree of freedom permitted in the Buddha's teaching is so great that no other religious system can even come near to compare with it. In this discourse called Kalamsutta, which we have been discussing, the Buddha had upheld the highest degree of freedom, not only in its human essence, but also in its divine quality. It is a freedom that does not deprive man of his dignity under any circumstances. It is a freedom that releases one from slavery to dogmatic ideas and dictatorial religious laws or religious punishment. It is not only a freedom from enslavement of human passions, but is also the liberation from all entanglement that make people gullible to superstitious belief and prevent people from becoming victims to untruth and the selfish worldly life. It also liberates one from belief in the power of spirit, magic, miracles, and a variety of religious cult. Buddhism helps one to understand the facts of life and the nature of the world. It gives one the freedom from ignorance which enslaves one in a static concept. It gives one the unique freedom to liberate himself through self-effort, purity, and intelligence. Buddhism is a religion for man to lead a noble life with free mind. Buddhism does not prevent anyone from reading and learning the teachings of other religions. In fact, the Buddha encouraged his followers to learn other religions and to compare his teaching with other teachings. He says that if there are reasonable and rational teachings in other religions, his followers are free to respect such teaching. It is true that certain people try to keep their followers in perpetual darkness in order to subjugate them. Their followers are not even allowed to touch other religious books. They are instructed not to listen to the teachings of other religions. They are enjoined not to doubt the teaching of their own religion, however unconvincing their teachings may appear to be. The more they keep their followers in the dark, the more easily they can lead them like sheep. If any one of them opens his eyes and sees the light and admits that all the time he was in the dark, then it is alleged that the devil has come to possess his mind. The poor man is given no opportunity to use his common sense, his education, or his intelligence. Those who are interested in changing his views seem to think that he is not perfect enough to be allowed to use his own free will to judge anything for himself. In actual fact, there is no real religious freedom in any part of the world today. Man has no freedom even to think freely. Whenever he realized that he cannot find satisfaction through the religion to which he belongs, he finds that he cannot obtain satisfactory answers to certain questions. He has no liberty to give up his religion and to accept a religion which will appeal to him. The reason is that religious authorities, leaders, and family members have taken that freedom away from him. Man should be allowed to choose his religion befitting his own conviction. One has no right to force another to accept a particular religion. Some people surrender their religion for the sake of girlfriends or boyfriends without proper understanding of other partner's religion. Such people are no better than puppets. Religion should not be changed to suit man's emotions and human weaknesses. One must think very carefully before one changes one's religion. Religion is not a thing subject to bargain. One should not change one's religion for personal material gain. Religion is to be used for spiritual development and for self-salvation. Buddhists never encourage other religions to come and embrace Buddhism for material gain. Nor does Buddhism try to exploit poverty, sickness,
illiteracy and ignorance in order to attract new members. The Buddha advised those who came to see him that they should not be hasty to accept his teaching. He advised them to consider carefully his teaching and to determine for themselves whether it was practical or not for their personal use. Buddhism teaches that mere belief or outward rituals are insufficient for attaining wisdom and perfection. In this sense, outward conversion becomes meaningless. To promote Buddhism by force would mean pretending to propagate justice and love by means of oppression and injustice. It is of no importance to a follower of the Buddha whether a person calls himself a Buddhist or not. Buddhists know that only through man's own understanding and exertion will they become nearer to the goal preached by the Buddha. Religious fanaticism is dangerous. A good end can never be reached by bad means. The means can never justify the end. A fanatic is incapable of guiding himself by reason or even by the scientific principle of observation and analysis. A Buddhist must be a free man with an open mind and must not be subservient to anyone for his spiritual development. He seeks refuge in the Buddha by accepting the Buddha as a source of supreme guidance and inspiration. He seeks refuge in the Buddha not blindly but with understanding. To Buddhists, the Buddha is not a savior, nor is he an anthropomorphic being who claims to possess the power of washing away others' sins. Buddhists regard the Buddha as a teacher who shows the path to salvation. Buddhism has always supported the freedom and progress of modern man. Buddhism has always stood for the advancement of knowledge and freedom for humanity in every sphere of life. There is nothing in the Buddha's teaching that has to be withdrawn to face modern scientific invention and knowledge. The more new things that scientists discover, the closer they come to the Buddha. Remember that the Buddha was the most enlightened one who revealed the truth. It was the Buddha who first advised man to exercise his reason and not to allow himself to be driven meekly like dumb cattle following the dogma or religion. The Buddha stood for rationalism, democracy, and practical ethical conduct in religion. A true Buddhist does not depend on external powers for his salvation, nor does he expect to get rid of miseries through the intervention of some unknown power. He must try to eradicate all his passions from his mind to find eternal happiness. The Buddha says, If anyone were to speak ill of me, my teachings and my disciples do not bear any ill will towards him. Do not be upset or perturbed. For this kind of reaction will only cause you harm. On the other hand, if anyone were to speak well of me, my teaching and my disciples, do not be overjoyed, thrilled, or elated. For this kind of reaction will only be an obstacle in forming a correct judgment. If you are elated, you cannot judge whether the qualities praised are real and actually found in us. It is accepted that the real followers of the Buddha are rational and liberal-minded. During the last 25 centuries, since the appearance of the Buddha, many changes have taken place in this world. Kingdoms have risen and fallen. Nations have prospered and perished. However, today, the world has forgotten many of these past civilizations, but the name of the Buddha remains alive and fresh in the minds of millions of people today. The kingdom of righteousness that he built is still strong and steady. Many temples, pagodas, images, libraries, and other religious symbols erected in his honor were destroyed. Yet, his unstained, noble name and the message given by him remains in the mind of cultured people. His teachings were introduced in order that cultured and civilized societies could live in peace and harmony. All of life's most difficult problems could be better understood if we would but try to learn and practice his teaching. The Buddha's approach to the problems and sufferings of mankind is straightforward. The Buddha was the greatest conqueror the world has ever seen. He conquered the world with his infallible weapons of love and truth. His teaching illuminates the way for mankind to cross from a world of darkness, hatred, and suffering to a new world of light, love, and happiness. Religion is employed by many people as an escape from life. So, many people who claim to be religious persons are not authentically religious. They may put on the garb of religion or religious symbols. They may even go very often to places of worship. Still, they have not learned to understand what religion stands for. Religion advises man to do good, but man is not interested in doing good. He is not interested in following this most important aspect of religion. Instead, he clings to certain other practices which have no real religious significance. Still, man has not realized what religion has asked him to do. If we have learned to remove our jealousy, pride, and wickedness, at least temporarily, we have found the correct way to practice a religion. But very unfortunately, people organize their religious activities in such a way as not to eradicate evil thoughts, but to harbor and cultivate them in their mind. When we observe the various activities that people perform in the name of religion, we think that religion is progressing. But the real purpose and essence of religion, that is mental development and understanding, is deteriorating day by day. Most of us pretend to be religious, but in the name of religion, we commit the greatest atrocities. Religion is in danger. Religion has brought about much indiscipline and much unrest. On the other hand, true religion is nothing more than the development of an inner awareness and the extension of one's compassion. We have to face our problems and try to solve them peacefully by relying on our spiritual background. To run away from our problems in the name of spiritualism is not courageous and not at all spiritual. The world today is a very sick place. Men and women are rapidly sliding downhill to their own destruction. At the same time, they imagine that they are progressing toward a glorious civilization that is yet to be realized. Irreligion is spreading everywhere in the name of religion. Many people misuse religion for their personal gain and power. Religion should not be a man's dream about his life and the next world. By living here in this world, simply following dogmatic ideas and becoming a nuisance to others, but to live here and now as cultured, civilized, and understanding people, by experiencing peaceful and contented life, Buddhism directs man's search inward to the potentiality hidden within himself. Some people believe that Dhamma or Buddhism is something man has. But man is Dhamma or religion. The word Dhamma means to maintain. Religion is not to gain anything from outside, but for us to learn all the existing things through proper perspective. That is called real Dhamma or real religion. Only by using our free mind, without depending on anything in this world, we will be able to do this. That is why Buddhism is called religion of freedom and reason.